40 days of prayer, right? And I, when I saw the skit guys, you know, put that together, I was like, oh, I thought it was going to be funny. But that was a really serious moment with the skit guys, who are great, great men of God. And we have to constantly pray, be praying for the church, our nation, and one another. I wanted to share something with you guys on Come Thou Fount. If you guys look in your hymnal at 163, this is my wife's favorite hymn.
And I do play it on the trumpet from time to time for her on the at home. But on page 163, right under it, it says, under Come Thou Fount, there shall be a fountain opened for sin and for uncleanness. That's in Zechariah 13:1. This is really a prayer asking God to open up the Come Thou Fount of every blessing. Tune my heart to sing thy grace. It's God's grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing. God's mercy is never ceasing. Call for songs of loudest praise. So we want to sing him praise. Teach me some melody sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount, I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. So we're praying that God would forgive our sins. And he is opening up the fountain of blessing and mercy and redemption. Is that not a wonderful hymn? And when you after I'm gone, I want you guys to remember Come Thou Fount and remember Zechariah 13:1 and how great God really is in his grace and his mercy and his redemption. I praise God for his forgiveness. I couldn't imagine if he were to treat us the way we treat each other sometimes in unforgiveness. But that's what makes God God and us human. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. I have put some a little bit of thoughts together, not much. And really, I read out of the Alliance magazine. I was going to preach a sermon on salvation today. And I read this article out of the Alliance magazine. And I really felt the Lord just tell me, just use that today. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll get through the rest. All right? Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much for this day. God, you are the God of grace. You are the God of mercy. You are the God of redemption. And you are the God of forgiveness. God, you are so good. And we don't deserve anything but to be cast into hell. But because of your goodness, you sent your Son Jesus to be the Savior of the world, to sanctify us, to wash us as white as snow, so that we could have a relationship with you, Father God. And I love what Brother Fish said. Father, we want an empty hell of souls. Father, we want CMA Church to be a light into Dark County and continue to be a beacon of hope. And we want to see lost souls come through this door and be saved and be sanctified and redeemed and feel the grace and mercy of you, Father God, and that they be baptized and then they be discipled. Father, I give this sermon to you. It's just a little message. It's not even a sermon, Father. It's just something that you've laid on my heart about talking about prayer. And it goes along with our 40 days of prayer. And Father, I ask that the people would just open up their hearts and their ears and their minds. Father, let the Holy Spirit just move in this place. And as we saw that video, Father, we want to give this great nation to you. And we ask that you would do with what your will is for our nation and also for this church as we go through the elections today. Father, you are in control. You orchestrate things, and we trust you with everything that we have. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so I want to give you guys a couple of my favorite people that I like to read and what they said about prayer. George Mueller is number one. And I'll repeat this, okay? George Mueller once said, "I live in the spirit of prayer. I pray as I walk about, when I lay down and when I rise up, and the answers are always coming. He said, I live in the spirit of prayer. I pray as I walk about, when I lie down and when I rise up, and the answers are always coming. The answers are always coming to him because he's living his life of prayer. His whole life he lived a prayer. Charles Spurgeon said, a day hemmed in prayer is likely to be unraveled. A day hemmed in prayer is likely to be unraveled. So if you're praying and you pray about your day, it's more than likely to go well for you than if you didn't pray for your day. That's what he's saying. And of course, our founder, A.B. Simpson, prayer is the link that connects us to God. Prayer is the link that connects us to God. And I'll give you an example of somebody who really believed in the power of prayer. That's Daniel. In the book of Daniel, he was told by higher-ups that he could not pray to his God. He had to bow down to the king's statue and pray to that God. And he said, I will not bow down to that statue, and I will continue to pray to my God. He didn't say this, but he lived it out, right? And so they set up a trap to entrap him, and he went in private, and he opened up his window, and he was praying to the Heavenly Father. He had that line, right? What A.B. Simpson said, prayer is the link that connects us to God. He had that link with him and God. And they caught him, and they went before the king, and they said, King, you know, this is what Daniel was doing. He was praying, and we told him not to. And, you know, the king had signed an edict that said that anybody caught praying, being disobedient, they would be thrown in the lion's den. Well, he didn't want to throw Daniel in the lion's den, but because of his edict, he had to. Well, you all know the story. He was thrown in the lion's den, and God shut the mouths of the lion, and they didn't eat him. And then the next day, the king went, Daniel, you in there? I'm here, king. And then all those guys that tricked them and their families and their kids were all thrown in the lion's den and they were eaten. Daniel had that link with God. If you go to page 9, pick up a copy of this magazine, the Alliance Life magazine, this specific issue is the January-February of 2024. And it talks about prayer. Bring back the prayer meeting is the title of the article. Bring back the prayer meeting. And I'm going to go point by point, and I'm going to share the scripture with you guys in here, and I'm going to read it to you. This is a little bit different sermon, but I feel led to do it. So just bear with me. After I left my position as an editor of the Alliance Life magazine in 1996, I served as an international interim pastor and 9 different churches. I wrote a book largely based on my experiences in the churches that I titled Repairing Broken Churches. And admittedly, there was a bit of hyperbole in that title. They may not have been broken, but with one or two exceptions, these were churches that were experiencing serious difficulties. Moral failures among the leadership, deep division within the congregation, lots of people leaving, and more. One thing was common in each of these hurting churches: a weekly prayer service or no corporate prayer service at all. I understand how difficult it is today to secure a large measure of support from an average congregation for a weeknight prayer service. People work long hours and barely make it home on time and for dinner, let alone for a church meeting. Still, there are many people in most churches who can be available to participate in the church makes it a priority. So make it a priority to come to prayer meeting if you can. All right, there's a lot of people who can. I have seen hurting churches healed, weak churches strengthened, and strong churches made stronger by the revival of a prayer meeting if the pastor and the other church leaders demonstrate its importance. Let me therefore list some reasons why corporate prayer is important and make suggestions about how such a service should be conducted. So we're down to about four people in Bible study. Average about four people now. And at the end of each weeknight on Wednesday night, we stop at 7 o'clock. We try to stop right at 7 o'clock and take the last half hour to pray. Brother John, would you feel comfortable and just kind of share how that's going, the prayer part? I know I called you out. I'm sorry, but you don't have to. It's to me, I remember calling him after the first time we did it, and we experienced something. We experienced a supernatural peace, a peace that passed all understanding, a calmness. And we both agreed that we felt better after we prayed that first time. And each time after that, we've been praying, and we've been praying for the leaders of the church. We've been praying for the church. We've been praying for the lost. We've been praying for people who are sick. Because we want to model that prayer meeting. Go to Acts chapter 2. Forgive me for calling you out. I didn't mean to put you on the spot. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Right? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, and to the breaking of bread and prayers. All right? So why prioritize corporate prayer, this guy says. The New Testament sets before us an example of corporate prayer. Jesus asked his disciples to join him in prayer in Gethsemane. And let's go to there. Matthew 26, 36 to 46. So Matthew chapter 26. We talked about this in Deeper Life when we were studying the book of Mark. And how Jesus went and asked his disciples, "Would you come pray with me, you know, for an hour? Or will you come pray with me?" And they fall asleep. They fall asleep. Matthew 26, starting in verse 36. This is in the Alliance Life magazine. All right, it's on page 9. So if you guys want to get a copy of the Alliance Life magazine, these verses are listed in there, so just follow along with me today. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go there and pray." And talking with him, Peter and two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." That word "watch" means pray with me. And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but your will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for a third time, saying the words again. Then he said to the disciples and said to them, "Sleep and take your rest later. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of the sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." Jesus was asking his disciples to pray with him, and they fell asleep. They fell asleep. How many times have we talked about doing a prayer meeting in the church, capital C church? I'm not talking about CMA church. I'm talking about the capital C church, okay? So don't feel like I'm pointing anybody out here. Capital C church. Do you know what the number one thing lacking in most churches is? It's a prayer meeting. Oh, they pray for about 5 minutes. Father, I know that I'm really sick. I need help with my sickness. There's nothing wrong with praying for healing. There's nothing wrong with praying for the sick. But Jesus asked his disciples to pray for him for 1 hour, and they couldn't do it. They could not do it. They fell asleep. And notice the Holy Spirit descended upon Christ, Christ followers who were gathered in prayer. So that's one example. Jesus prayed, his disciples fell asleep. But watch what happens. Watch what happens. There's actually like a flip, okay? The Holy Spirit descended upon Christ, Christ followers who were gathered in prayer at the day of Pentecost. So if you read Acts chapter 1, I won't be able to read all that. But notice that they were deep in prayer. In those days, Peter stood up among the brothers. The company of persons was all about 120, right? And he gave a little sermonette. But they devoted themselves to prayer. Verse 14 of Acts chapter 1 says, all these were in one accord, were devoting themselves to prayer. Devoting themselves to prayer. All right, so then in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, that says the believers, plural, all of them, continued to steadfastly pray. The Apostle Peter was prayed out of prison in Acts chapter 15 by believers. If the early church met together regularly for corporate prayer, should we do less? Should we do less? The answer is no. We should not do less. We should do more than the early church. We should do more than the early church. We should be praying corporately. We should be praying singularly. We should be praying before the service. We should be praying on Wednesday night. We should call each other and pray. How many of you got my text message, guys? How many of you thought that challenge is really good? Hey, I need to call a guy and pray with him this week. Nobody? Somebody raise their hand. That was a good idea. Thank you. And that's a challenge to the whole church. We love to call somebody and tell them juicy stuff. We love to give the details. In my generation and younger, they call it the deets. Give me the deets, the details. Right? I want to know everything. But what if, instead of calling that person and giving them the juicy stuff, the sinful juicy stuff, why don't you give them the spiritual juicy stuff and pray with them? What do you think that would do? Remember what my guy said, right? A.B. Simpson, prayer is the link that connects us to God. A.B. Simpson. What if the church prayed together as a link to God rather than as a grapevine for other things? The early church believed in corporate prayer, and I'm not trying to beat anybody up. I'm just trying to give suggestions. I'm not saying anybody is doing this, but I'm saying as we continue this article, watch what happens. Watch what happens. This article was super good. Corporate prayer focuses the attention of a church upon resources outside itself, right? He says, Christ will build his church, and the praying together allows the local church to participate in his purpose. One of the churches I served was in such turmoil that the elders were meeting twice a week. The elders were meeting twice a week to sort through the issues the church was facing. Now watch what he says about what they did. After I attended several meetings, I said to the chairman, I hear us doing a lot of talking to each other, but very little talking to God. Can we spend more time praying? He asked them, okay, we do a lot of talking, but not a lot of talking to God. Can we do some talking to God? That's what he asked them. That's what he asked the chairman. At the next meeting, we devoted the entire meeting to prayer. After this, we began every meeting with an extended time of prayer, and we saw God begin to heal the congregation in remarkable ways. You see, God is the God of redemption. Come thou fount. right? Of every blessing. Tune my heart to sing thy praise. We want to give him the praise, the glory, and the honor. You see, pastors are not up here to give themselves glory. But they are wanting to give glory back to God, and they want their flock to grow and prosper and pray together. Corporately, singularly, or individually, and one-on-one. One-on-one prayer time. Discipleship. You want a church to heal? You better pray. Brother Tim said, a church that ain't praying is playing. A church that ain't praying is playing. That's the truth. A church that doesn't pray together does not stay together. Prayer. I'm not trying to beat anybody up. I'm just trying to encourage. I promise. This was very heavy on my heart this week as I read this article. Prayer draws a congregation together. Praying together brings people in the church into unity, right? That's Ephesians 4. Unity. The differences are set aside. Hurts are forgotten and wounded spirits are healed when people devote themselves, their energies to praying for each other. Forgiveness goes a long way, folks. And there's so many times that somebody steps on somebody else's toes and they carry that hurt and guilt and shame with them forever and ever. And rather than praying with that person, asking for forgiveness, and healing the relationship, it's a divisive thing. And Satan wants nothing more than for us to have divisiveness in the church. He wants us to be disunified. He wants us to be quarreling and fighting amongst ourselves so that the true message of God cannot get out. But hurts are forgotten when people pray together. Participation in corporate prayer meeting gives people an opportunity to become aware of people who are sick and the church members or programs that need support. It's very important to pray for the sick. We believe as Jesus is our healer, right? James chapter 5. Verse 13 to 17, or the rest of that chapter there. Pray for the sick. Anybody among you suffering? Anybody among you depressed? Feeling hopeless? Down? That's that suffering piece. Anybody among you sick? Cancer? You know, falling down and hurting themselves? Getting in a truck accident? Getting in a car accident? Having bad teeth, whatever, you pray for the sick. You pray for them. And that's James chapter 5. All right? And he goes on to say, the members of the church need support. And then we want to pray for the ministries. So we want to pray for the preaching ministry. We want to pray for the Sunday school ministry. We want to pray for the Brianna's Hope ministry. We want to pray for Deeper Life. We want to pray for small groups. We want to pray for our missionaries. We want to pray for Stamp Ministry. What else? What other ministries we got going on in here? Tons of ministries. And those are not for programs, okay? Those are not they're not pragmatic, all right? They're not just to have a program, but they're actually really good ministries. The Stamp Ministry. 19,000 and 500 stamps or something like that. 19,875 stamps went to Florida to buy Sunday school material to go overseas to teach the people the gospel. That's that generational thing, right? Let me break and just tell you a little story. I've got a friend. I won't mention his name. Some of you know him. But his mother was invited to this church in the 1900s. And because somebody invited her to this church in the 1900s, 29 people after her have been saved. That's the power of prayer. That's the power of praying for the prayer. Yes, prayer requests can be printed on a sheet in the Sunday school bulletin, shared on the internet, or communicated through a phone chain. But none of these engages people in praying for one another and for their church as effectively as a prayer meeting. You got to do it together. One of the things I learned at City Barbecue and McDonald's and Chick-fil-A and CC's Pizza and, what other restaurants did I work at? Taco Bell. It's a team effort, okay? You got somebody taking the orders. That was usually me. I was the first person they saw, usually in the restaurant. I wonder why. But then I would take the order. And I was loud enough that the people could hear me in the back, and they already started the order before it was even completed. All right? It's just my voice carried. But if you didn't have your register, and you didn't have, if you had two people call in sick, and there was one person running the register and taking all the food and making the food and trying to pass it out, it was chaotic. Without a corporate prayer meeting, without a solid prayer meeting, church is chaotic. Churches fall apart. Churches are hurting. There is an effective, the prayer meeting is very, very effective. All right, so he goes on to say, corporate intercession gives God an opportunity to work in our midst. Jesus said, ask and it will be given. That's Matthew 7:7. Let me read that to you guys. Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find it. Knock and it will be opened to you. All right? I always give a disclaimer for that one. I always give a disclaimer. I won't give it today. But there is there's a little bit of disclaimer for that verse. However, Jesus was not a liar. Jesus said, ask and it will be given. God wants to give. But he waits for us to ask. A man who attended a church I served at told me, when I moved into this community, I looked for a church with a weekly prayer meeting. That was an indication to me that the church depended on the Lord and not themselves. A church that has a weekly prayer meeting is dependent upon the Lord. A day hemmed in prayer is likely to unravel. A church hemmed in prayer is likely to unfold, it won't unfold. It will stay together. All right? A prayer is a lifeline that connects us to God. A church that is connected to, has a prayer meeting is connected to God through that line. I told you this is a heavy, heavy stuff. And the Alliance believed it so much they put it in their magazine for thousands and thousands of people to read about corporate prayer. We need to be dependent upon the Lord. Prayer service draws individuals closer to the Lord and utilize people a place of service, which promotes spiritual growth. Some people don't know how to serve in the church. Some people think they don't have enough qualification to serve in the church. You know, some people feel like they're just baby Christians and they don't know how to do anything. Do you know that they could be a great service by being in a prayer meeting? George Mueller. I just read this in a book that I'm reading. Growing Deeper in Your Faith. And he said, there's a story about how he needed to get someplace really fast. There was a fog, and he went to the captain, and he said, hey, there's a lot of fog, and I need to get to this place in such and such a time. I've got an appointment. I've never missed an appointment. I have 57 years, and I don't intend to now. And the captain said, do you see all this fog? There's no way we're going to be able to make it to your destination in time. And George Mueller said, okay, well, we'll just pray. No, before he said that, he said, well, then the Lord will provide another way of means of transportation for me to get to my place. I thought that was funny. You know, he's like, okay, I have enough faith that God would be able to transport me whatever way he wanted me to get there. But then he said, let us pray for the fog to be lifted. And the captain's like, okay. So George Mueller gets down and he said, simplest prayer. Lord, you know that I am meeting such and such at this time. I need you to lift the fog because I want to, you know, be able to share whatever the important meeting was. Amen. It was a very simple prayer, childlike prayer. And then the captain went to pray, and George Mueller puts his hand on the captain and said, You don't need to pray. I had enough faith for the both of us. Go see if the fog is lifted. He went out and the fog was lifted, and he made it to his destination. Power of prayer. Childlike faith. Doesn't take, you know, I love Mark Lowry. And he always makes fun of these guys that are up there. Oh, God, thou and thy God, you know, thee, the holiest of men. You don't need that. You don't need that. You just need a childlike faith to pray. And the Lord hears your prayer. And we can get people who are brand new believers in a prayer meeting, and that will help them with spiritual growth. He said, I said, more than anything else, we need to pray, the need prayers in the church. And I urged her to begin to participate in our midweek prayer meeting. Over the following months, I saw her blossom spiritually. She also developed a stronger influence for the Lord in her family and among her peers. That is because she was able to be given a task of praying. It helps us grow spiritually. Corporate prayer builds a wall against Satan's influence. Notice back in the Garden of Gethsemane, on the night before he was crucified, Jesus asked his disciples to stay with him and keep watch with him. And that's Matthew 26:38. And Jesus used a term that meant to do sentry duty. Okay? Now, let me tell you something about sentry duty. I've done this. It is extremely hard to stay awake in the dark. Okay? When you're pulling sentry duty at 2 a.m. and you're used to sleeping, you know, from, 9 to 5 or 9 to 6, whatever, but you have to do sentry duty in the middle of a war zone in a tower, and sometimes it would get cold so they have a little bit of heat. Boy, I'm telling you, that's a hard duty to stay awake holding a gun. I would be in a conversation with a battle buddy. Mid-conversation, I would just fall over, sleeping. And I would keep trying to wake up. Rippets, those little energy drinks, they were my best friend over there. That's like Red Bull. But sentry duty. And if I kept falling asleep, and if I would have stayed asleep, the enemy could have attacked right there and killed one of my soldiers, my fellow soldiers. Jesus was asking his disciples to stand sentry duty and pray with him. And he was asking them, stand guard praying, not against physical enemies, but against spiritual ones. Ephesians 6:18 uses the same original word there. You can read that for yourself later. Be alert. Always keep on praying for all the saints. Many of the failures and fractures that wounded these troubled churches were due to satanic deceptions and influences. The congregations had left themselves vulnerable to Satan's attacks by failing to maintain a strong prayer service. I shared that video of them praying for the nation because our nation is under attack by demonic forces that are ripping apart our churches and our homes. Big time. We have to, got to be praying. Prayer is also the church's most powerful offensive weapon in our warfare against Satan and his kingdom. Watch this. A missionary recounted how, before making an evangelistic thrust into a new area of 12 villages, he asked 12 of his supporting churches to pray for this effort. He gave the name of a village to each of the churches and waited until they had time to pray and then began his work in the previously unevangelized region. He had a good response from 10 villages, but in the two he met resistance and was forcefully driven from one. Later, when visiting churches in the United States, he learned that 10 churches had taken his request for prayer support seriously. Two of the 12 churches had not. And the two churches responsible for praying for the villages that had strongly opposed his efforts to preach the gospel there were the ones that didn't pray for that. We must use this weapon that God has put at our disposal. Prayer builds Christ church. Prayer builds Christ church. I'm going to give you a verse that Paul praise in Colossians chapter 4. This is what he was praying for. And this is what he charged us to pray for in Colossians chapter 4. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on the account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of time. Let their speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Let us continue to pray for the word, the gospel, to continue to be out. Let us not be one of those churches that are not praying for the evangelism team to go out and share the gospel. There was an evangelist, and I forget the guy's name, but he was very successful. And the reason why he was so successful is because I think either his sister or his wife was in a closet praying as he was going out. And he was very successful in his ministry because he had a prayer partner. He had a prayer warrior praying for him. Folks, we have a set of missionaries coming next week, Mark and Lauren Reyes. They're getting ready to go to Paraguay. They're just now embarking on their missions trip. He's been a lead pastor, and they felt both the call to go to missions, and so they're going to Paraguay. They're coming here, and they're asking for two things: prayer support and financial support. And he said, we really would like to see some, you know, financial support. But he was like, prayer support is also important. And they're going to have cards that they're going to give out. I can't remember the name of the cards. Promise cards, right? I'm going to encourage you guys to do two things. One, to be praying about it, their visit next week, and as they ask for money and as they ask for prayer support, be praying how the Lord would lead you in that. And number two, don't sign a prayer statement unless if you're actually going to commit to it. We don't want to be one of the churches not praying for them and they not be successful because we didn't pray them up. Remember Paul's prayer. Continue to steadfastly pray. Be watchful with thanksgiving. All right? Pray for one another. Remember George Mueller's quote: I live in the spirit of prayer. I pray as I walk about, and when I lie down and when I rise up, and the answers are always coming. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, you are so good. And I thank you for this article that you put in the Alliance Life magazine and how we learned about prayer today and how Jesus asked his disciples to pray with him for 1 hour and they fell asleep. Father, I ask that you would wake up your sleeping bride, the church. Wake them up. The capital C church, everywhere across this nation. And I pray that churches would start having a weekly prayer meeting. I don't care how old that sounds. I don't care if that sounds so outlandish. Prayer meeting is vital. And Father, you said it. We need to be praying together. And the early church devoted themselves to prayer. In Acts chapter 1 and also Acts chapter 2. And 3,000 people, it says thousands were coming to Christ daily because they devoted themselves to the teaching, the breaking the bread, and the prayer. Father God, I pray that CMA Church would be one of those churches that devotes themselves to prayer, and that we would walk in obedience, and that nothing would be made a decision without prayer. Let us soak everything in the power of prayer. Father, because we don't want to be disobedient. We don't want to be leading people astray. We want to see people being discipled. We want to see people praying together. We want to see forgiveness happening. We want to see a healthy church walking in obedience unto the Lord. Jesus, you are the cornerstone of every church. Would you build this church the way that you see fit? Let your will be done and not our will. And Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would move in the midst of this place and fill our hearts with your presence. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We do have one more song. And if anybody wants to pray with me, I'll be up front.
In the dark, a song that lights up the stars, one breath that gives life, one sovereign in power, who speaks with thunder and fire.